Hello, radio family. Welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. And friends, we've got a very intriguing guest on the show today. I have the privilege of speaking with Julie Woodley. Now, Julie Woodley has a BA in Christian education, an MA in counseling from Liberty University, and a certificate in theological studies from Bethel Seminary. Julie is a licensed mental health counselor in the state of New York and a certified trauma counselor. And Julie has a very amazing testimony about what she has come through and how the Lord has restored her. Julie is the founder of Restoring the Heart Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that exists to share the truth and healing power of Jesus to those who are broken by various traumas and to provide hope for the future. Julie has also co-authored Restoring the Heart with Matthew Woodley, Post-Abortion Trauma with Mark Crutchmeyer, and Surviving the Storms of Life with Matthew Woodley and Dr. H. Norman Wright. She has also wrote the curriculum and co-produced the DVD series In the Wildflowers. Now, Julie's amazing story has been featured on radio by Billy Graham's Decision Today, Focus on the Family, The 700 Club, Unshackled of Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, Moody Broadcasting, American Family Radio, as well as many other stations. And it is my honor to welcome Julie Woodley right now on Divine Intervention. How you doing, Julie?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you.
Well, great. Mm-hmm. Well, you have had an amazing life, and God has really done some incredible work in your life. I had an opportunity to read your book of your testimony, and we want to get to all of that, but why don't you take us to the beginning? Tell us about your childhood growing up, and just tell us about yourself.
Okay. As a little girl, I was raised in the Rocky Mountains of Montana. Absolutely beautiful place to be raised.
So I've heard.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. I would go up on my horse at the top of the Rockies, and I could see Canada, Washington, and Idaho. Absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
So, you know, there was much to be thankful for being in the beauty of the Rockies, but I was in a very hard place as a little girl. My father sexually abused me all through my childhood until I left home at 18, sexually, physically, emotionally, really. I felt like a rag doll that was just kind of tossed aside, and wow. Whoever wanted, you know, if he was angry, then I took the brunt of it.
And your dad was a very well-respected in the community, is
very
that right?
Very well-respected, very wealthy man. He, you know, still to this day, he owns, you know, this, a lot of streets, businesses. You have people very much looked up to him. I was very much instructed to keep all the secrets at home and not tell anyone about it.
Okay.
Which I did. I was absolutely petrified of my father and so afraid that anybody would find out what was going on behind those closed doors, all the pain that I was experiencing.
Wow. And from what I understand in talking to people, this is actually a lot more common than people realize, what goes on behind closed doors, because no one wants to talk about it.
Yes, right. No one wants to talk about it. And, you know, the aggressor that's abusing us often finds ways for us to keep quiet and not say anything, and we just listen because we're afraid.
Right.
Yes.
And how did that, you know, how did your childhood and your image of your father, how did that help you form a picture of God? Did you have a picture of God as a child, or who was God to you?
Very good question. I learned at a very young age, which is just really, really miraculous, to separate God from my earthly father.
Okay. A lot of people don't.
No. And it's amazing that I did, but I didn't. I was raised in the Catholic Church. Now, I love the Catholic Church now and a lot of things they do, but it was very confusing because everything was in Latin in the church, so I desperately wanted an understanding for who God was, but I didn't understand it.
Okay.
But God gave me an understanding at a very young age, and I didn't become a Christian until I was older, but and then I really learned to separate, you know, my earthly father from my heavenly father and see the incredible differences between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you, well, obviously you have a testimony of how you mm-hmm. came to that place, but you left home at a young age, 18 was it?
I left the day after I graduated from high school at 18.
You knew you just had to get out of that
I knew I had to get out. Up to that point, I had actually, the violence began to very much increase, and I was very much afraid for my life. I was afraid that my father was going to kill me. He had threatened to kill me. He was a hunter. He had all kinds of guns.
Like, and, literally?
Oh, definitely, yes. Okay. Literally kill me.
Why do you think he had this attitude or this rage against his own daughter?
Looking back, it's hard to fathom it, because as a mother, I mean, I just can't fathom wanting to hurt your own children. But just as a little sidelight, a few years after I left home, my uncle, who's my father's brother, told me that my father was not my father. Mm. That my that who I thought was my father, my uncle was my father, who was my uncle Dick.
Okay.
So
a different one than the one that was telling you.
Yep. Okay. Dave was the brother in Wisconsin, and the brother in Montana was Dick.
Okay.
And so, anyways, to make a long story short, I believed him, and I was like. Because my mother and my uncle who I thought was my uncle had had an affair.
Okay, well, that could explain things.
And so I was the symbol of that sin.
I see.
So ever since I was little, there was just so much violence towards me and so much hatred.
Wow.
Towards me, and not towards my brother, but towards me.
Now looking back with this information makes a little more sense.
Yeah. Well, why the continual punishment? Right.
Wow.
And of course, image was supposed to, that was the number one thing in our home was image, you know.
Right, because from out the outside, people looking in a healthy home.
Here's this man, he's given all this money to the community, and you know, they look so put together. And, you know, when I'd walk into church in the morning on Sunday mornings with my family, my dad would, you better smile, and, you know, would hit me across the face if I didn't smile. And so I had an awful lot to protect.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. So you left home after your 18th birthday.
Yes.
To get away from it. And how did your life go from there? What happened?
I got on a train, walked about 2 miles to a train by myself, like 4 a.m, had no money, except, you know, I had money for a one-way train ticket. That's it. I just knew I had to get away from the violence. Mm-hmm. Some things had happened in our home. My father didn't want me to get my ears pierced. I got them pierced. And so he threatened to take my life, and I just knew I had to get out of there. So, yeah, I took a one-way train ticket to Wisconsin, and I wish I could look back and say, you know, I ran away from the abuse. I ran away from the family abuse, but I didn't run away from not knowing how to say no to men, not knowing how to stand up for myself and not be abused. So the next 5 years of my life were... I lived a very promiscuous life. I guess on all practical terms, you could say I became a prostitute, although I didn't have enough self-esteem to even ask for money. But, you know, if I could get a meal or I could get a place to sleep, I would sell myself. So.
And this went on for 5 years?
For 5 years. And okay. I just went from party to party, from drug to drug. But more than that, I was very, very sexually promiscuous, very sexually addicted, which unfortunately, as I work with women now that have been sexually abused, and by the way, one out of every three women by the time of 18 have been sexually abused in some way, shape, or form.
That is an alarming statistic.
Yes, so we know they are absolutely out there, but there's just a real, you know, common theme for women that are become very promiscuous. It's like I wanted to be loved. I wanted some security, and that's how I thought I would receive that mm-hmm. love, which makes sense when you look back on my life, because my father would sexually abuse me when he would say I love you. So it's like I connected the two, you wow. know. In order to be loved, I need to give sex.
Right.
Yes.
And a lot of young ladies are being raised with that same idea.
Yeah.
Nowadays. So this went on for 5 years, and I remember you did have an encounter with God, though.
I had an amazing encounter with God,
yes. Tell us about that. What happened then?
This was a place in my life. I was very, very poor. I was living in thankfully I had a room that night to live in. And
so you didn't normally, you were homeless for a while?
I lived with whoever would take me in. Sometimes I'd sleep in my car. If I could make a little bit of money, I'd you know, rent a room for a bit. And thankfully, this night, I had a room. But I had made a vow at that point in my life that I would sleep with a different man every night, and I would have a different bottle of booze.
Every night?
Every night.
Wow.
And I did really good accomplishing that goal. But this night, I didn't have a bottle, and I didn't have a man, and my best friend had just been murdered.
Oh, my gosh.
She had been at a party with me and had left the party not too long after that, and someone had murdered her. So I was at the end of my rope. And so I vowed that this night when I didn't have a man and I didn't have a bottle, that I would take my life. And I had put some pills in the medicine cabinet for this special night when I would take my life. And that night I just, I was like a caged animal. I look back on it and I just was wandering from the medicine cabinet to my bed and just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. Mm. It's like I hit my pain and all the memories just started flooding back and the flashbacks started coming back to me. And I hit my pain and I took the pills and I was going to take them and I just said no. And I threw the pills in the waste paper basket. And I just dug my fingernails in my head, very long fingernails, and I just dug them into my hands until they bled to stop myself from killing myself. I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed myself to sleep until I was just weak. And I fell asleep, and in the middle of the night, when I was sound asleep, I heard a voice. And that voice said, "Julie, I love you."
Mm.
And the voice got louder and louder, so loud that it woke me up. And I should have been afraid. You know, you hear a voice in the middle of the night. You know, I wasn't schizophrenic. But I woke up, and I just felt all this hot love. Just, it's like I was burning with this beautiful hot love.
Wow.
It was an incredible experience.
And did you know who the voice was?
I had no clue.
Okay.
I had no clue. I had no clue, but I knew it was good.
Okay.
And I knew it was true. And I clung to that voice. And when I was wide awake, it spoke to me again. And it said, "Julie, I love you."
Mm.
It was like it was pleading for me to understand. And to the depths of me, I understood.
Okay.
I wow. understood more than anything I had ever understood my whole life. I understood.
So how old were you at this point?
I was 21.
21.
21. I was working at that time. I was working in a feeder clinic for Planned Parenthood. I was their spokesperson.
Planned
Parenthood. I would go out and I would talk young women into having abortions.
Why would you do that?
Because I had had two at that point.
Oh, wow.
I thought that I bought all the lies up to that point. I thought, you know, it's I remember some of the training I went through when they were teaching me how to speak to women that are considering abortion. Never call it a baby, never allude to it's a baby, never allude to it's a life. It's a pregnant tissue, it's a problem that you can get rid of.
Wow.
And I bought all those lies up to that point.
So they're really trying to teach people to dehumanize
yep.
a baby.
Exactly,
basically.
Dehumanize a baby, yes.
And what do you think, having been through the procedure twice...
Right.
What does that do to you? What did it make you feel? I mean, how does that affect your psyche?
Oh, my goodness. It affects your psyche in absolutely every way. In fact, I'm doing a video project now on the trauma of abortion just
okay.
to show, and that should be released by the fall, but just to show how it affects us. It affects every part of who we are. It affects, of course, deeply our concept of ourself. You know, if we are really willing to look at that pain of what we did, we murdered a baby. It wasn't just pregmental tissue. It was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I constantly pray for women as I walk them through the grieving of their abortion experience that they would begin to see themselves through God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because other than that, we cannot forgive ourselves. And I lived with that unforgiveness for so long until I really came to a place where I really began to see that God could forgive even me. The chief of sinners, because I had talked many women into having abortions.
Even having gone through the trauma yourself, you thought it was good at that
time? I thought it was good. I was so deceived, and that's very common for women that have had abortions. We are under such deception.
But it was painful for you going through it,
wasn't it? Very, physically, very, very painful.
Well, and emotionally, I would think.
And emotionally, very, very painful. But I just, I remember just going through that procedure. And I my second abortion was a really hard abortion because I really felt like I loved this man. I dated him 5 years. He was studying to be a lawyer. His number one goal was to be in the White House as a lawyer. You know, he eventually achieved that goal. But he didn't have time for a baby or a wife. And that was a very, very hard abortion because I really wanted his child. But I remember he said to me, if you want to save this relationship, then get rid of this child.
I remember from reading in your book, that is a very common reason why women get abortions.
High percentage of women have had abortions because they want to save that relationship. And they're willing to sacrifice their baby.
Hmm. What would you say to someone right now who may be listening, who is pregnant and contemplating having an abortion?
I would say, please, honey, don't do this. Because for the rest of your life, you will have glimpses of deep, deep pain from aborting that baby. Hmm. You will, it'll affect every single part of your life in profound and deep ways.
I know of friends of mine who've gotten pregnant and were considering abortions, and then they didn't go through with it. And their children have been such amazing blessings to them. Even as hard as it is to be a single mother, if you're being abandoned or whatever, the children have become such blessings and such a source of joy for them that they look back and they're so thankful that they kept the baby.
Yeah. I didn't get to experience those blessings. Neither did the women and men that have had an abortion. And you know the statistics for that as well are very, very high. 1 out of every 3 women has had an abortion.
Right.
Christian, non-Christian.
1 out of every 3.
1 out of every 3.
In America.
In America.
That
and
is
every
huge.
Abortion dramatically changed 7 to 9 people.
Wow. Incredible.
And in America, every 20 seconds, an abortion is performed.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Since we started recording this, recording this program, look how many babies have been aborted. And they're not just pregnantal tissue. They're
they're
babies.
They're
lives. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I want to encourage anyone listening that if that's you out there and you are considering it, I would encourage you, do not do it. When you're in a place like this where you feel alone, you feel abandoned, you may not see the outcome, but it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean?
Right.
It may seem bad, and I'm sure it is. I'm sure you're going through a lot. But there is hope.
And it can be the beginning of a new world. And I never, ever want to address the women that are considering having abortions without addressing the women that have.
Okay.
Please understand that there is grace, and there is mercy, and there is forgiveness.
That's right.
From the abortion of that baby. And, I just really believe that that we can have a even fuller, incredible lives after we have walked through that forgiveness process. And there are many people out there, Restoring the Heart Ministries, who I'm the founder and director of. You know, we would love to come alongside you and love you in this process, as well as many, many other ministries.
Right. We need to understand that Jesus came and he gave his very life and died for us for all sin.
Yes.
For everything,
yes,
no matter what you've gone through or what you're going through.
Yeah.
He can restore and he can heal you.
Amen.
And I'm just so thankful that we have a God like that who didn't leave us alone in our sin and brokenness, but stepped into history and provided a way for us to be healed through the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, Julie, take us back to that time when you were 21. You heard that voice in your room. You knew it was true. You knew it was good. How did your life change from there? What happened?
My life started to turn around. I didn't know at that point where or who that voice was. You know, at that point, I felt like, who could ever love me? You know, I am the chief of sinners. Who could ever love me? But there was a part of me that just grabbed onto that voice. And God turned my life around. I slowly stopped drinking. I searched for that voice, actually, when I look back. I just searched for that voice.
Well, you know, the book of Deuteronomy says that if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find him.
Amen. Yes, so. And I did. It's about 2 years that I sought and sought and sought that voice. But
now, you didn't just hear that voice once.
I didn't just hear it once.
It was continually speaking to you, right?
Every time my life hit rock bottom and I wanted to take my life, or things were really, really hard, and I really struggled with a lot of depression. Every time I hit rock bottom, that voice would come back. And it was a constant reminder that someone out there loved me.
Wow.
And amazing. So when I look back, he became, you know, a man. I just thought of this. He became the father I always wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Very amazing. You know, I just love the fact that, you know, God, he loves us so much. He fights for us. He intervenes.
Yeah.
You had a divine intervention.
I had a divine intervention, and I was so stubborn that he had to continue to give it to me, I think.
Well, he knows what it takes to get our attention, and he knows where to meet us. So.
Yep.
How did you finally come to realize who that voice was?
That was very interesting. At that point, I enrolled myself in the University of Minnesota, I was constantly tired. Because I was putting my way through school, I was exhausted. I had to take a whole year pre-classes just to be enrolled in the regular classes.
Okay.
Because of the high school I was from, it was, you know, it just, I had to catch up a lot. But anyways, I was walking down the University of Minnesota, and I was going from job to job, exhausted. And this young girl just started talking to me. She said, "My name's Michelle," and she was really bubbly. I mean, she was, like, so bubbly, and I was so tired. She was, like, obnoxious. Obnoxious. And she, like, sought me out. It's like she said, my name's Michelle, and I'm a Christian. And you know what? I thought up to that point, oh, gag, I do not like Christians.
Why is that?
Because I had had a couple Christians come to me and give me the language.
Christianese,
you know, I remember one woman, she took me to the four spiritual laws, and she asked me about my life, and I thought, oh man, I don't know how much I can tell her, you know, at that point, thankfully, I had stepped out of prostitution, but I was still sleeping with guys, you know, I had a horrendous life, and I told her a little bit, and she was, like, so shocked, she couldn't look at me anymore,
really?
She was so shocked, she did not know what to do with me.
Now, that's kind of an indictment against Christians because, you know, we need to understand that Jesus, he said that it's not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. And he hung out with tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes.
Right.
He said they're entering the kingdom before you.
Yes,
you
right,
know, and he's talking
right.
to the religious people.
Yep.
So we need to keep that in mind
as
followers of Christ, how we represent him.
Right.
So I'm very sorry you had that experience, but I'm glad that this other person reached out to you. What happened with her?
She was different. She glowed.
Yeah.
She glowed. And I could tell she was truly interested in who I was. So that night she asked me to a Bible study. And she said, why don't you come to a Bible study? I thought, oh, great. I have to go to a Bible study. You know, that's what Christians study. Gag. I mean, I look back and I think, like, the Bible to me was like pornography. It's like, ish, I don't want to understand the Bible. But I wanted to know her and what made her so very different than anybody I had ever met. And so I walk across the University of Minnesota with, you know, the only pair of tight jeans I had and halter top and walked into this Bible study. And it was like, it was amazing. I mean, I know this may sound shocking, especially those of you who've been to Bible studies in Sunday school, but there was such love in that room. And it was like the best drug trip I'd ever been on. It's like I walked
getting
in.
Getting high on Jesus.
Getting
Holy
high
Spirit.
On Jesus. And men and women were hugging each other. And it wasn't sexual. It was pure love. And I'm like, wow.
I don't know
what these people are on, but I want to be part of it. Never, never, ever had I experienced that.
Wow. That's, the love of God. You know?
And
it's awesome when you can see that. I experienced something like that in Christian community that I've never seen modeled quite like that before.
Yeah, right.
Not in the exact same way, but
right.
I just saw how people... I just remember being on this retreat, you know, and we're up in the mountains, and they had a book table, and you could buy books, and they said, okay, whatever you take, just put the money in the bin, and there was, like, nobody around. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm from New York City. How does this happen?
Right.
But, I really learned something about Christian community. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So, Julie, we want to come back after the break
and
talk about the rest of your story. But everyone tuning in, we are speaking with Julie Woodley. She is the founder of Restoring the Heart Ministries. And what's your website, Julie?
It's www.restoringtheheartministries.com.
Restoringtheheartministries.com. Okay, and she's telling us about her riveting life of abuse and surviving that and restoration in Christ. So we'll be right back with more. Please stay with us on Divine Intervention.
love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Where everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. If you enjoy the testimonies on my talk show, I've also written a book containing more amazing stories of God's divine interventions and miracles. More information about Divine Intervention, the book, can be found on the web at www.zulonpress.com. That's XULONpress.com. Or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665. Divine Intervention is supported by the Other Perspective Media recording artist, poet Billy Lamont. More information about poet Billy Lamont's CDs, books, and Other Perspective Media can be found at www.billylamont.com.
Hurry home, my wayward son. There'll be feast when you are done. Stay here with me and be blessed. Don't you hide no more.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention. This is the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God. And once again, I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. We've been speaking with Julie Woodley, and her website is www.restoringtheheartministries.com. And she is a trauma counselor for women. And she's been sharing with us her life and how God helped her overcome a life of abuse and prostitution and, restored her. Julie, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you.
All right. Now, before the break, you were telling us about this girl on the campus of a university in Minnesota who invited you to a Bible study, and you saw love like you'd never been exposed to before. Tell us about that and how that helped you to find God.
Yeah. Like I said, it was just amazing to watch these people love on each other. And in that night, they spoke about the love of God and that that we could be born again. And I know that's a thing that we kind of throw around, but to me, that was the best news in the world because that's why I wanted to commit suicide. I wanted to put everything behind me, the abortions. You know, at that point, I'd probably slept with at least 100 men. I wanted to put it all behind me, and I wanted to just start fresh. You know, no more sexual abuse, no more pain, start fresh. And that's why I wanted to commit suicide.
Because
I thought
slate.
That was the only, a clean slate, yes.
Now, did you believe in like reincarnation or something? Or did you just think the pain would end?
I just thought the pain would end and I'd go to heaven. I mean, I didn't really think it through much. I just wanted to end all the pain.
Okay.
Wanted to end. So when they told me that Jesus got up on the cross and died for me so that I could like start over, my sins would be forgiven. I was just, I'm still like so blown away with that, that he would do that for me. And I so personalized it. I mean, you know, I'm at this Bible study. Obviously, everybody was probably Christian there, you know, because they knew what they were talking about. But that was just like, blew me away. He would do that for me.
That's good news. The good news.
It was good news. But it was more than good news. It was he could relate to me.
Right.
When they started telling about, then and then also right before Easter, I heard the I went to a Maundy Thursday service and began to understand what he did for me. He understood sexual abuse. He was naked on a cross. He understood physical abuse. He was whipped. Never, ever had I been able to connect with a human at that point or anything divine that could really understood all of the abuse that I had been through.
So amazing. I love Jesus and the fact that God would step into history in the form of a man and relate to humans.
Yes.
And he went through everything that we could possibly have gone through.
Yes, right.
You know, Jesus is not like the God of any other religion,
right,
who's
right.
up there and we're down here. Yeah. He actually humbled himself.
And felt it.
He took it all
on us. And felt it with me.
Right.
And then when they told that, I thought maybe I can feel it with him too.
Mm-hmm.
you know, maybe we can feel this together. And just to realize that that I could start all over, and there was a group of people that loved me, that accepted me and received me for who I was.
Praise God for that.
Yes, I mean, it was just pure love between these Christians and I. Unfortunately, since then, my view of Christianity and the church has been tainted in many ways. But I do see that there's Christians out there that will love us. They won't talk against us. They won't betray us. They will be with us. They're committed to us. And they'll love us in deep and profound ways. Mm. They became my family.
It's amazing, you know, and people in church or just in life in general, everyone's at different places in their walk.
Yes.
And in their understanding and their relationship and their maturation process.
Right, yeah.
The church, let's face it, is full of sick people,
right,
sinners.
Right,
who are
yes.
on the road to being restored, hopefully.
Yes, you know? Hopefully, yes.
So, and I know it's unfortunate that we sometimes get abused by people in the church, but you know, they're broken sinners just like everyone else.
Yes.
So I appreciate the fact that you know what true love is and you right. know who God is.
Yes, right.
And that you
right.
can hopefully look past yeah. the sins of
right.
some people in the church.
And I guess I just want to plead to those who have been hurt by church people and Christians. There are people that can love them freely.
Right.
And there are those of us out there, and I know there's many, many that are true Christians and won't give up on them, no matter what sins they've done.
Right.
Yes.
And I think we as Christians need to understand that nobody is beyond hope, and
yep.
that God is powerful, and he can do anything for anyone.
Yes.
And he can pull us out of the depths of mm-hmm. the muck and mire wherever we mm-hmm. are and redeem us. Mm-hmm. I mean, God's power is not limited in that. So don't ever give up hope on anyone.
Right.
Continue praying for people.
Yes.
Because I've seen God change people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm sure you have too.
And I was reading last night, Rob Bell has written a great book called Sex God, which is a very interesting title. But he talked, when I was reading last night, he was talking about charging into hell and bringing in heaven and ushering in heaven. And that's what I want to do as a Christian. And in fact, as we go on, I'll tell you some of the work I've been doing.
Yes,
but
please.
But working in a, I've been working in a very interesting place. I work with prostitutes and with exotic dancers.
Right. You mentioned some of that. God has kind of opened up a little ministry there in strip clubs and,
yes.
and places like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us about that? How did you get into that and what's going on with that?
Well, it's a crazy journey because I created this DVD project called In the Wildflowers for women and men that have been sexually abused. And thankfully, it's all over the country, and now it's going into other countries, and people are healing from their traumatic sexual abuse wounds. But I began to pray, God, I love people in church. I love Christians, but I want to go farther.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to the people. I want to go where other people won't go, to the highways and the byways. I guess you'd call it the 1040 window of where we are today. Pray that I can go into those places and reach people that other people may not go to. And so God gave me this amazing opportunity. In fact, it was interesting. Last fall, I got all these great awards from New York State congressmen and legislators for my work with trauma. But someone overheard about my work was an owner of a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, would you come and meet with these girls?
Wow.
And just, you know, I'm hearing so many stories. Just come in and listen and, you know, be the on-site counselor. So I walked in. I was just absolutely blown away, just with the pain, the pain, the desperation of these girls, you know, that are willing to sell themselves in every way just to make a buck, you know. But I understood because I had been there too.
Right.
And so I just felt all these love for these girls. And it was, I also found out that they're forgotten. Their birthdays are forgotten. They're forgotten, you know.
They don't have very strong family ties.
No,
usually.
Often some of them have no families.
Oh, wow.
No families. And their birthdays are forgotten. So I said, God, if I could just go in once a month or twice a month and bring a birthday cake. So I go in a couple times a month and I bring in roses. I bring in the birthday of the month cake. And
wow.
They just are so touched that someone remembers. And we have this crazy birthday party. You know, they stop the dancing. They stop the music for just a small amount of time, and we celebrate their birthdays. And so anyways, I become kind of their mom.
What an amazing ministry.
Yes, it's a crazy ministry.
Reminds me of XXX Church. Have you heard of them?
Yes, yes,
they
yes.
They minister to prostitutes,
yep.
and they have church just for them. You know,
yes.
If they want to come in and a very much needed ministry, and I think one that's been neglected over the years. But I'm glad that people like you are stepping in.
Yeah.
And going to places where, you know, a lot of these women probably wouldn't go into a church.
Right. Oh, no. They would feel probably excommunicated from a church. But but I just want them to know that they're not excommunicated. And I just feel all this love of God when I'm in there. That sounds really crazy. But God is with me. And so anyway, I just began to pray, God, how can I begin to love them and take them out? Take them out into a place where they feel dignified. And so God gave me this crazy idea of this fashion show, where we'll have many models, but there'll be some of our models.
That's amazing.
And we've got these beautiful places to donate the dresses and the makeup and the hair. And I just want Christian community to come around these girls that feel so worthless and show them their worth and their dignity and their love.
Once again, everyone, we're speaking with Julie Woodley. She's the founder of Restoring the Heart Ministries, restoringtheheartministries.com. Do you have information about the fashion show on your website?
Yeah, it'll all be on the website. Okay. And if you want to know more about it, come. If you want to just come and love on these women, we would absolutely love it. And men, great. Because some of the men from the club will also be coming to usher the girls. And, you know, it's a place where, you know, there by the grace of God go I.
Right.
There by the grace of God, my daughter is not in that place. Mm. But they are our daughters. They are our family. And we need to love them in those places.
Wow.
Yes.
That's an amazing thing you're doing, and I'm just so thankful that that you are taking that step of faith and going into these places. It's obvious that God has had a plan for you, and He's called you to do this, so that's a wonderful thing. I want to get back to, you know, sharing about your testimony. You had, you were at that Bible study, and they talked about being born again, and at that point, you realized you could relate to God and Jesus, so you asked Him into your life. Was it right there at that Bible study?
It was at the Bible study, and it was just amazing. I mean, they use crazy language. They said, "Oh, the angels in heavens are rejoicing," and I'm like, "I have no clue what you're talking about." But I know that I'm really happy right now. I'm really happy, and I'm really filled with joy. It's like I just had all this love.
Wow.
Just, I mean, it's not just like He just impacted my mind. He impacted every cell of who I was.
So how did that affect you going forward? How were you different from that day?
I was radically different. I that night in particular, I remember it like it was yesterday. All of a sudden, I went home. I felt joy, just joy, 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 joy. It's like, I don't know what this feeling is. It's so strange. It's not a drug high. It's joy. And I went home that night, and for the first time in, you know, 21 years, I did not have nightmares.
Wow.
No nightmares.
You had nightmares all
those years? All those years, I had nightmares.
Wow.
Because of all the abuse that my father and the neighbor and my brother and, you know, so many men had inflicted on me, and that I had walked into myself. No nightmares. And I woke up the next morning, and it sounds really strange, but everything was technicolor. It wasn't black and white anymore, because up to that point, I was just surviving, hang on to my life, just survive. Everything was black and white.
Wow.
If I can pull myself out of this depression, if I can make it to tomorrow. But all of a sudden, everything was just brilliant. It's like, God, it's like in my mind, I went from black and white TV to colored.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, I woke up the next morning. It's like, oh my gosh.
You were alive.
I was alive. I could see flowers blooming. I could see colors. It's like, I could hear birds singing. It's like, I was like, I was a little kid is what I was. And I still am, even though I'm, you know, 52 years old. I'm still a little kid, because it's like, it became alive. God's world became alive to me.
Wow.
And that day, it was so funny. I wish I had a video of me doing this. But I, like, began to skip down the University of Minnesota campus. I wasn't tired anymore. I was like, I had all this energy. And I just skipped and sang the song, the only one I knew about Christianity, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus Loves Me. This I know. And I was skipping along. I mean, I look like a total nut.
Yeah.
And I still am. But so I went to this hamburger place where I had been, like, the big, you know, party. I'd organized all the drug parties and everything. And I went into this place, and my coworkers were hungover from drugs or alcohol, and I got up on a table and I started like preaching to everybody.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I'd only been a Christian like what, 12 hours, you know? it's like I got up on this table, it's like, you got to hear what happened to me last night. I became a Christian and I was so excited.
Well, when God touches you like that and transforms you, I mean, you want to tell everybody.
Yes.
You got great news, you want to share it.
I had to share it out to the crowd. And my friend Steve, who he and I planned all the drug parties together, and he was a big druggie. I looked at him, he was so hungover and looked horrible. And I looked at Steve, you don't have to do drugs anymore because God wants to change your life and he will show you true happiness. And I just went on and on. Steve, in the next week, he absolutely turned his life over to God.
Wow.
Every single praise book God. I had like heard about Christianity, he like went out, we both went out, picked it up. We started this search together. And it was so beautiful to watch him absolutely turn his life around.
Mm.
And God just began to turn that restaurant upside down as I began. I mean, it didn't matter if people were, you know, it didn't matter if there was customers there, I would still get up on a table and I'd preach.
Wow.
And thank praise God, God the owner let me do it.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, as you you grew up, you also, as you moved on from there, you went to school, you went to seminary, right?
Right. I went and got a bachelor's in Christian education. Mm-hmm. Then when my husband at the time was going through seminary, I found out that wives could go for free at that point.
Nice.
So I'm like, I'm going. Even though I had, you know, I was pregnant with number two, I thought, I got to do this because I want to just, I mean, I would wanted to just gobble up every word of God.
Right.
I still do. It's like I was a nut in seminary because I had to sit in the back because I would cry.
Aww.
When I'd hear the Psalms and I heard the love that God had for me, I would just sit there and weep and experience it.
Mm. Wow. And then after that, God took you into your ministry, Restoring
right.
the Heart Ministries. You work counseling trauma victims and mm-hmm. people who've been abused.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how you got into that and you know what you're doing now with that.
Well, I began to speak around the country and do like different radio programs and stuff. But everywhere I went, people would say, you just told my story.
Really?
You just told my story. And this one man came up to me. I was speaking at a crisis pregnancy center banquet telling my abortion story, which you want to hear more. I'd love to. I know we don't have time to do that today, but I have an incredible abortion story and healing story. But he said, you know, Julie, he said, I really think the world needs to hear your story. And I'm like, I'm just one small person, but if there's some way that the world can get hope from my broken story, then I want to do that. So that's when I began to create DVD projects.
Well, I think your willingness to share it is very key in that, and God mm-hmm. will honor that because, as you mentioned, one in three women
yes.
have been through the similar things, but not all of them are ready to talk about it or can talk about it.
Right.
They're so wrapped up in pain and mm-hmm. shame. But, you know, in the process of talking about it, there's healing in that, first of all. And also, God will, he loves a willing heart.
Right,
he wants
right.
people to be available.
Yes.
And in sharing our brokenness and our pain, that can really help to heal others as
right.
well.
It can help heal others. And that's why I made the DVD project. So women can get together, and men are going through it now, in groups.
And what's the name of it again?
It's called In the Wildflowers. It's
okay.
on my website. I have a shortened website too. Is rthm.cc. That's my shortened website.
rthm.cc.
Or restoringtheheartministries.com.
Okay,
right.
If you don't want to spell it all out.
Yeah, right. But
okay.
you can go on there. You can watch some clips of it. But you know, in listening to somebody else's story, we become validated in our pain. It's like, mm-hmm. she went through that. She's feeling like that. That's how I'm feeling, too. I'm mm-hmm. not alone. You know, if I can help people feel like they are not alone in their pain and they're not alone in their healing journey, then my life will be accomplished.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. It's so amazing how God can, you know, take someone who's been through all this
mm-hmm.
and can transform the pain, the brokenness, and use that for
yes,
good.
Right.
It reminds me of Romans 8:28,
mm-hmm.
where it says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and mm-hmm. are called according to
mm-hmm.
his purpose. Unfortunately, it doesn't say that everything that happens will be good.
Right, right.
But it works together for good, especially if we allow him
if
to
we
use
allow
us.
Him and allow him to experience forgiveness of
right.
those who have hurt us and get to give him our anger. in time when we're ready to release it, to give him all of our emotions, all our pain, and let him go to the depths of our pain. Not just spiritual language, but an experience of going to the depths. To have it, you know, it's funny that you named it divine interventions, because I prayed last night, God, give me a divine intervention today, because I'm in a lot of pain from some things that are going on in my life. In a minute, I had a divine intervention.
How? What happened?
It was technicolor. It was beautiful. There was music. It was there.
And like a vision?
A vision of God, of just who he is and how much he loves me.
Wow.
And that intervention went into the depths of who I am. So please know that anybody, if you're just willing to ask God, he longs to give you a divine intervention. Every single second of the day, all you have to do is ask him and be open to it.
Amen. Wow. Well, I'm just so pleased to be able to have you here and to have you share your story on divine intervention, because we love stories like yours. We love hearing testimonies of how God changes lives, how he restores lives. Mm-hmm. You know, God is the God of miracles, and Jesus can restore anyone. Mm-hmm. He's not a God like any other God, and we just want to give him all the glory, and we do that with stories like yours. So thank you again for sharing.
I'd love to have you go on our website or call us. And let me give you our phone number, 631-689-6686. 631-689-6686. But we have many great things coming up in the future. We do have wildflower groups around Long Island.
And what is a wildflower group?
And around the country. A wildflower group is for people that have been sexually abused or traumatized in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
We will take you through a healing journey. The DVD series is based, it's kind of like a reality show, and it's real. It's real women that have been traumatized and have been sexually abused. And then we've went around the country and taped the top professionals that deal with the trauma of sexual abuse.
Okay.
So we will love to take you through the healing journey. It's on Long Island, but it's also around the country. Wildflower projects are sprung up all over.
Okay. And once again, this information is available on restoringtheheartministries.com.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And so there's actually a process or practical steps that people can go through to be healed of these traumas and this pain.
Practical and divine steps to watch these people heal. You know, it's just bizarre to me and beautiful that God could take all of my pain and he could turn it around and help others.
Well, that's what he does. He's a God that redeems.
Yes.
So can you give us an idea of some of the steps, you know, that people go through in this process?
I don't have all 10 of them in front of me, but forgiveness, dealing with our anger, mother-father issues, dealing with our shame, dealing with our identity in Christ. Dealing with the love of God.
I think the dealing with your identity in Christ is so key, because no matter what you've gone through, if your identity is not in Christ, you're off kilter.
Off kilter,
And when you properly understand your rightful nature and your identity in Christ, the truth of God and the truth of who you are in God pushes out all the lies about your identity, your self-esteem, your self-image.
Right.
And once that is in place and aligned, everything else kind of will help to fall into place.
That is so true. That is so true. And we have the top professionals speaking on that. Christopher West, John Eldridge, Dr. Diane Langberg, Dr. Timothy Clinton. We have like 40 different professionals speaking on that.
Wow.
All throughout the series.
Okay.
So that is an amazing process to watch people. And one thing I did find was there's a big connection between sexual abuse and the trauma of abortion.
Really?
So what we've done is we are now finishing the project on the trauma of abortion.
Okay.
It's for therapists, but it's also for other people that have been through the trauma of abortion. And there's never been a project like this done either as well. So it will be exciting. That hopefully will be in the release, and we're raising funds for that, which is always a big project with video production.
Well, how can people help if they want to donate?
Oh, that would be awesome. You can go on to our website or give us a call at 631-689-6686 to finish the production of this. And let me just tell you, the abortion wounds around the United States, but around the whole world, are just so deep. And if we could find a way to begin to speak to those deep wounds. I love what Dr. David Reardon says. He's one of the big professionals on the trauma of abortion. He says that The way to heal the abortion epidemic is for the post-abortive women to speak up.
Really? Wow.
And I really truly believe that. That's why it was so important that we capture the story of the pain of women and men that have had abortions.
Mm. I think that's key as well. Yeah, because people who've gone through it, like I was saying earlier and that you were alluding to, not everyone talks about it.
Yes,
but
right.
There's a lot more people than we probably realize who've gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if they speak up, they can help, I think, people who are considering it or people who are going through it now.
And they can release their own secrets.
Right.
And talk about their pain. Yes.
And confession, as they say, is good for the soul. It's
yes.
not just a cliche. It's
right.
true.
Right. Yes. And you know what? It's true for the whole family. And when our children, when my children found out, I have four children now, four amazing children,
mm-hmm.
and a granddaughter. But when they found out that I had had two abortions, like things, even though they were upset with me, I needed to walk them through that. They needed to be able to understand why I parented the way I did.
Okay.
So protective. So, you know, in the beginning, controlling until I had healed from those abortions. So it's important that we talk about that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
And a couple other projects that are coming up in the near future is, of
sure.
course, the fashion show. But then I am writing a book for InterVarsity Press. I will find out this week if they'll publish it, but it looks like they're
great.
Looking at
oh,
publishing
it. I love InterVarsity.
It. Yes,
that
they're
retreat
awesome.
I alluded to earlier, that
yes.
was an InterVarsity retreat. I was
oh.
involved with them in college on my campus, too. So.
Wow.
Wonderful group.
Yes, that group, and also NAB Press is looking at it, but at the book that I'm writing, and it's going to be endorsed by John Eldridge, which is
okay.
a huge, he's become a great friend.
And what's the subject of the book?
It's furthering my story and
okay.
other women's stories, and it's really a book, a handbook on trauma.
Okay, what's it called?
We don't know yet. We're
okay.
right in. It'll be something alluding to wildflowers.
Be a surprise.
Yes,
so tune
I'll
in.
Be surprised. But that should hopefully be done by this summer or fall.
Great.
And I'm also planning a big event in New York City, which with the Archdiocese of New York. This is a brand new event that we're coming, but it's called Holy Sex in the City.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. God just kind of gave me that name. It's like, we got to plan something about that. But it looks like Christopher West, who is an amazing speaker on holy sexuality. If you haven't heard of him, go on his website. But he will be one of the speakers as well as John Eldridge.
Okay.
So
awesome.
We'll let you know more about that as it unravels.
Sounds like you got a lot going on. And unfortunately, we are out of time. But Julie, I want to thank you so much for coming in and for sharing your amazing story of the divine interventions mm-hmm. that God has done in your life. And, you know, just keep up the great work. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. And those of you who have been wounded in every way, please know that God loves you and he longs to hold you and be your father.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, friends, I want to thank you all for tuning in. That about does it for this edition of Divine Intervention. Once again, I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we've been speaking with Julie Woodley. Once again, her website is restoringtheheartministries.com. You can check her out there and see all the great events she's planning. And, you know, if you're struggling with abuse or healing, or you, mm-hmm. you need healing from that, her website can get you some great resources. So please tune in. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up. We're at divineintervention@mail.com. And, of course, all of our shows are archived, so you can tune in there for the podcast. www.divineinterventionradio.com. God willing, we will see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention. Take care and God bless.
Thanks for listening to Divine Intervention. More information, free downloads, and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com.